It's the Happy Families Podcast. It's the podcast for the time poor parent who just wants answers now.
Do you remember, we've had a couple of kids who, they were so excited about starting big school and then they came home after day one or day two. And
oh, like, it was about day three.
Maybe day three. And we're like, okay, well, you've got school again tomorrow. And they just have this meltdown. They're like, no, I've been to school.
I know everything.
I don't need to go to school anymore. I've done that. I'm finished.
And now here's the stars of our show, my mum and dad.
Hello, this is Dr. Justin Coulson, the founder of happyfamilies.com.au, Parental Guidance Season 2, coming soon to Channel 9.
You know, I saw a picture of you the other day.
You saw a picture of me?
Well, actually, your mum sent it to me.
Right, what was the picture of?
Well, you.
But
she thought you were in a skirt.
What, from when I was a kid or something? I didn't wear skirts when I was a kid. What are you talking about?
No, you were in TV Week.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Really?
You and Ali standing next to each other?
Okay.
Were you really, or was it just all
photoshopped?
Yeah.
Ali and I do stand next. Alison Langdon is the host of Parental Guidance. I'm the co-host and parenting expert. We do actually stand beside each other now and then. So I don't know if the photograph is of Ali and I standing beside each other. Have you got it there? Let me see. Okay. So this is podcasting is not a visual medium, but oh, it looks like I'm wearing a dress.
That's what your mum said. Right. The way they put the text box from waist down over the top of you.
That's so funny.
It looks like you're wearing a dress.
Okay, so this was in, what is it, TV Week. You know, I don't think I've ever read a copy of TV Week. From January 21 to 27, it was TV Week. I wonder why I'm not aware of this. And you know what? I'm looking at that picture and I think that Ali and I were not, no, I think we were. I think we were together for that photo. I think we were. It's not just the wonders of modern technology.
It's becoming real.
What are you you bring that up because I mentioned the TV
That's
show.
That's right.
I was going to say, we've got things to talk about today and where are you going? So season two is getting close. It was in TV Week. So what did it say? I just handed it back. There was writing, can I read it please or do you want to read it? No, you read it. You read it.
No, it was just must see television in 2023.
Oh, okay.
And you guys made the cut.
Really? Can I read out what the blurb is that looks like it's a skirt around my legs? It says Parental Guidance, Nine Network. The TV show that puts parenting under the microscope returns this year after a successful season in 2021 that proved to be groundbreaking and shocking TV. 12 families with very different parenting styles will be tried and tested in the series, hosted by parenting expert Dr. Justin Coulson and a current affair host Alison Langdon. Topics from tantrums to sibling rivalries are unpacked, with a special emphasis this season on raising children in the digital age and the dark side of the internet. Oh, I can't wait. It just reminded me of what's in season two is going to be amazing. We've talked for too long about this. We need to talk about what we're here to talk about. Did you want to say anything else about it, though? Because it's pretty cool.
Well, your next book?
My next book. No, let's talk about that later. Okay, 2023 is going to be a bumpy year. I saw one of those things on Facebook the other day, and it said the song that was the number one song for the year in the year that you turned 23 is going to be a summary of what your year is going to be.
Uh-oh.
So I did a quick Google. I looked at the year that I turned 23, which I mean, I might as well say it because people can go and research it anyway. As if everyone is going to do that. It was 1998, okay? I think, yeah, because in 1975 I was born. And the number one song in 1998 in Australia was... It's going to be a bumper year.
Oh,
it's
wow.
It's going to be a great year.
Did you Google mine?
As a matter of fact, your number one song, the number one song for the year, I won't tell people how old you are. I think I might get in trouble. I don't know, Kylie, if this is going to be a great summary of your year. It was Can't Fight the Moonlight by Leanne Rimes. You can try to resist.
Serious?
I don't know what
that
means.
That's the number one song.
Don't read too much into it. It was the biggest song of the year, peaking at number one for 6 weeks and staying in the top 50 for 22 weeks. The longest stay at number one was Shaggy with Angel, which spent 8 weeks at the top spot, and it was joined by Alien Ant Farm's Smooth Criminal. You've been hit by, you've been struck by a smooth criminal. I used to love
Maybe
that.
Maybe that's me.
I used to love that. And we've got a daughter called Annie. And so I don't know how many years of her life we would walk around the house singing, Annie, are you okay? Are you okay? Are you okay, Annie? Might have to try that when I see her today.
Well, we've digressed like a bajillion long.
That's your fault. You brought it up.
It's not my fault. Uh-huh.
So we're like 4.5 minutes into the podcast. We haven't even begun the topic. We've got 7 things that can keep you sane this school year. 7 ways to make sure that the kids thrive at school. I think that I want to start by saying, especially at the start of the school year, especially right now, easy mornings, easy afternoons, easy evenings. Take the pressure off, because this is the time of the year when everybody is running around like crazy, right? You're getting back into the routine. You forgot this. You've got to go and buy that at the shops. The extracurricular activities are starting up again. And I just want to, tip number one, just cool it, take a break, breathe. Because do you remember during COVID, everyone said, oh yeah, I'm going to slow down. We do too much. We've got to learn this lesson. We've been overscheduling our lives, and COVID is kind of, it's not really affecting most of us in any meaningful way at all anymore. Life has returned to normal, which means that we've started overscheduling and life is full on. So I reckon easy afternoons and easy evenings, especially in the first couple of weeks as kids get used to the routine.
Well, I guess number two is helping our little ones know that school actually happens every day and will for the rest of the year.
Do you remember, we've had a couple of kids who, they were so excited about starting big school, and then they came home after day one or day two, and we're
it was about day three.
Maybe day three, and we're like, okay, well, you've got school again tomorrow, and they've just had this meltdown. They're like, no, I've been to school.
I know everything.
I don't need to go to school anymore. I've done that. I'm finished. They've watched their big siblings go to school continually, but they kind of thought, no, I've done it. I'm all good.
It's amazing. And for parents, you know, who are dealing with this for the very first time, often day one can be actually so exciting that there's no jitters, there's no nerves, and they go off really happily. But then we get to day two, three or four, and all of a sudden it really sinks in that they actually have to do this every day. And sometimes you'll find that there'll be a regression and it actually gets a bit harder before it smooths out.
Yeah.
So just know that if that's you, it's normal, it's okay.
And
reassure your children.
And go back to point number one, easy afternoons and easy evenings, because they're pretty stimulated all day at school. We don't need to be loading them up in the afternoons. In fact, if you've got younger kids, I'd even say don't even book any extracurricular activities in term one if it's not too late. If you can avoid it, just minimize the input into their lives during the afternoon and evening.
Lots of cuddles.
Yeah, and limit the TV as well. That doesn't work for them. Hey, I think that there's a third thing that is worth mentioning, and that is the importance of sleep. We talk about this on the podcast a lot, and one of the favorite things for me to say about sleep is that it is not a luxury item. Our kids, our older kids, are still sort of treating sleep like, oh yeah, I'll get to it when I get there, because right now I'm busy reading or I'm writing in my journal. Like I walked in just a couple of nights ago, I walked into the kids' bedroom. At the moment, for those of you who have missed the memo, last year when we moved from Brisbane to the coast, we had to downsize significantly. Like we bought a 3-bedroom beach shack, basically. We're okay back from the beach, but we bought this this little beach house that we went from having 6 bedrooms to having 3 bedrooms. So we've got 3 kids sharing 1 bedroom right now. But it's the rumpus room with 2 sets of bunks, and there's a lounge in the corner. So I stepped into the bedroom where the 3 kids are, and Emily, our 8-year-old, she's fast asleep. It's 9:30. She's gone. But the 12-year-old and the 15-year-old, they're sitting on the couch. Each of them's holding a torch. One of them's just reading her book and the other one's holding a torch while she writes in her journal, 9:30 at night. And I'm like, guys, sleep is not a luxury item. You need it. Like everything needs it. Your brain needs it to function. There's a relationship between getting enough sleep and avoiding things like Alzheimer's and Parkinson's disease. I mean, your brain, your body needs the rest. And the kids need, especially in these first couple of weeks, because they've probably had a lot more screen time than they should have during the school break. Watch the amount of screen time that the kids are getting.
Well, number four is a reminder that mornings begin the night before.
Yeah.
And especially in these first few weeks, if you can set yourselves up the night before, it makes the mornings just that much less stressful, and everybody gets off on a happy foot, hopefully.
Okay, moment of reflection here. So I've been traveling a fair bit for work. I've been doing a lot of seminars, professional development for teachers, some corporate work. And so the last couple of weeks, I haven't been home as much as we would normally have me home and as much as we would probably like. Can I just ask, how are we going with that? How are we going with morning beginning the night before?
Look, the girls have actually been really good. The other night I said to them, Dad's out. He's going to get home a little bit late tonight. Do you think that we can all work together and get as much of the cleaning up done so that when he comes in, he'll get a really big surprise?
And I did.
Well, I couldn't believe it. Even Miss A,
yeah,
she got involved as well. She was like, all right, what can I do next? And I said, well, I've got a whole heap of little jobs that were just little things, you know, kind of putting away things that were in the wrong place. And she said, oh, I said, how are you going with it all? She said, it's pretty boring. She said, but it's okay.
Boring.
I asked her if she'd wiped down. Her and her cousin had been roller skating through the house, and so they'd rubbed black marks onto my kitchen cupboards. And I said, what's that? She said, oh, I think maybe when we were roller skating, we, you know, scratched up the walls a bit. And I said, do you think you could get the gumption out and clean that? So she did, and she did a perfect job of it. And then the next thing I've seen is she's around the hallway, down the hallway.
She just kept gumptioning.
She's like, I just want to clean all the doors, Mum.
Right.
I said, can you just clean the kitchen?
If she's doing it, just let it go. Anyway, your morning begins the night before. So school uniforms, socks, shoes, bags unpacked or repacked. Do it the night before. It takes so much pressure off in the morning. It makes mornings so much smoother when you've reduced that level of load for the next day.
We're talking about seven things we can do to make school smooth. And my next tip is to meet other parents.
Uh-huh.
It makes such a difference to your kids. You think that the relationships are built in the playground, but they're actually not. They're built outside of school.
Yeah. Over the years, as we've gotten to know our kids' friends, and it's usually primary school. I mean, in high school, it's great if you can, but the kids are usually a little bit reluctant to make it happen.
Oh, and parents are as well.
I've noticed that. Parents are kind of...
They're busy.
The kids are fine.
They kind of see the kids as being so much more independent and not needing them. And very often kids don't want them around. And parents take a back seat a lot of the time when you get to high school age. So it's much harder to make connections in high school. But primary school, and especially those really early years, most parents are desperate to find some connections.
The reality is as well, if kids are going to enjoy school, they have to have good relationships at school. They've got to have good friends at school. And the success of a friendship isn't really up to the kids. Like, it might be great at school, but the friendship really works best when the parents know each other and they're able to coordinate after school activities or a catch up on the weekend or chat about the upcoming birthday party or whatever it might be, school camp.
So if we just take a step back and think about it from an adult's perspective, you walk into a room of 24 other people.
Yep.
What are the chances that you're going to make a best friend in that scenario?
Oh, I mean, I love talking to people. I love people. So I'm not so nervous about that. But I understand the point, and that is that it's really hard to sit down, get to know somebody, and
there's so many distractions. There's so many things, you know, pulling at your attention, and especially for little kids.
Yeah.
So giving them the opportunity to develop friendships in a more controlled setting where there's only one or two other kids and they get to kind of, you know, work out the whole relationship.
Yep.
It's really, really tricky.
Yep.
So whatever we can do as parents to help them navigate that and make stronger connections outside the playground is going to help them so much better in the playground.
So we've kind of piggybacked number five, meet other parents, with number six, foster relationships. Those two things kind of working together. But maybe to extend that a little bit, if your child has a friend and they're really getting along well, it might be worth finding out what that friend does for extracurricular activities, or letting that friend know what your child's doing for extracurricular activities, getting them creating more common language, more activities in common, more things in common can often deepen the relationship and make them more excited about going to Oztag or more excited about going to netball or hockey or swimming or whatever it is that they're doing. It can actually really inspire them to step outside their comfort zone and do things that they haven't done. So it builds the relationship, it builds kids' competence, it gets them involved in things. And I reckon there's a lot of value in us knowing the other parents, but also fostering the relationship, building it, having play dates, all that kind of thing. Big kids, little kids, same, same.
And just as a parent, it helps to have somebody else there to kind of, you know, go back and forth with. You've lost a newsletter and you can't remember what day the next school excursion is or what day do they wear their sports uniform or whatever. It's really nice to have another parent to kind of just back you up in your thinking.
Okay, so we've covered six things. We're going to make sure that we remember to have easy afternoons and evenings, remind little kids that school is every day, and be really gentle about it. Recognize they might have some big emotions around that. Help all of our kids to understand that sleep is not a luxury item. We've talked about remembering that your morning begins the night before, and we need to both meet other parents and foster relationships for our kids so that they have a sense of belonging at school. The last thing that I think we should talk about in this brief conversation today is just the importance of supporting our kids' autonomy. When kids feel controlled, when they feel like we're making them do everything, they push back. Force creates resistance. And so to the extent that we can, I think that we want to give our kids some autonomy, whether it's in the morning as they're getting ready for school, what they're going to have for breakfast or lunch, or maybe even, it's probably too late for this now, but letting them choose the school or consider where all their friends are going and have them go off there. But the more autonomy we can give our kids, the more they can have a sense that they're in control of things, or at least we're working with them, we're providing support to them as they make decisions and guiding them carefully and gently if they're going to make a decision that's not in their best interest. It really just smooths the road. It makes family life easier. It makes school life easier. We find that we can all breathe a little easier when control levels are lower, not higher.
It makes life easier for everyone.
Yeah, it does.
Well, hopefully these tips have been helpful in helping you navigate these first few weeks of school, especially for these first timers.
The Happy Families Podcast is produced by Justin Ruhl from Bridge Media. We appreciate very much the work that Justin does to make the podcast absolutely sing. Craig Bruce is our executive producer. And if you'd like more information about making your family happier, you can visit us at happyfamilies.com.au. Tomorrow, the big question that so many parents grapple with, especially at this time of the year, how do I get my kids to do homework?